Please join me in Gassho. Gassho, onegaishimasu. The moment one thinks on Amida's primal vow, one is naturally brought to enter the stage of the definitely settled. Solely saying the Tathagata's name constantly, one should respond with gratitude to the universal vow of great compassion. Okunen mida butsu hongan, ji nen sokuji niu hitsujo, yui no josho nyorai go, oho daihi guzeon. Namman da butsu, namman da butsu, namman da butsu. Morning, everyone. It's wonderful to have you all here with us. Great to have you all here on Zoom. You know, we always welcome folks to turn on their cameras if they wish. Of course, if you prefer to leave it off, that's just fine too. But it's always fun to see everybody's smiling faces on a Sunday morning, and it gives us that feeling of being here together with one another during the service today. So today we're going to be continuing our conversation about the six senses. Last week we spoke a little bit about the six senses and specifically about the sense of smell. Today I want to talk about the way in which these senses, as they come into our minds, the feelings and the thoughts that arise in response to them, and how this really creates our experience and creates our sense of who we are and ourselves. And so we're here, gathered here today on our Labor Day weekend. I hope you all have an opportunity to relax. Labor Day weekend, of course, is a time to celebrate all of the hard work that we've done and to take some time to rest and to relax. Sadly, there are many people this weekend who are not able to rest and relax because of the very essential work that they're doing for our community. People like the first responders who are still continuing to assist those who've come down with the COVID-19 virus, and also the firefighters here in California continue to be very active this weekend and throughout this season. And so as I reflect upon all of my own labors, I feel that what I do for myself pales in comparison to all that is done for me. And yet I still feel that through, as a result of hard work, I feel tired and I feel exhausted. And these days, you know, I feel, you know, particularly that I need to give my mind a rest, that my mind has been very busy, very busy. I don't know if you feel the same way. Maybe it's all the time that I'm spending on the computer as we're doing so many things virtually. Maybe it's the ongoing stress of just living in the midst of this COVID-19 and all the things we have to pay attention to. Perhaps it's the news about the upcoming election and all of the turmoil that's going on, but I feel like my mind is racing here and there, here and there. And as I look to the teachings of our wise teachers, I find that it's not me who is alone in this, and this isn't something new. Throughout human experience, we've had this mind that runs back and forth. This is a part of being alive. It's a part of having six senses. And so how can we calm? How can we settle our mind? I think if we want to think about how to settle our minds, we have to begin by understanding why is it that they race to and fro. They race around so much that in the Buddhist teachings, this mind is often called the monkey mind, said to be the mind that's like a monkey, constantly running back and forth. So today, I'm going to talk about a monkey right here. And this is a very, very busy monkey who runs back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so whenever this monkey sees something it likes, races after it. So we'll see what happens. I brought something here today I think this monkey might be interested in. The monkey is sniffing and sniffing. Woo! He races toward this banana. This is such a fragrant banana. I can smell it too. And the monkey loves the smell of the banana. And so he chases after it. But as he's chasing after the smell of the banana, all of a sudden, he remembers. Oh, I remember that over here, over there was a peach. And so he remembers. And all of a sudden, he thinks about that peach and how delicious it tastes. He's running over to find the peach. Right? He's chasing after the peach. But then he hears the beautiful singing of this monkey. And he looks over, he's like, ooh, that's a nice looking monkey. I'd like to make friends with that monkey. Right? And so he's coming over here to visit this monkey. And as he's coming over to visit, he's coming over for a visit. And what does he see in his path? But a snake, right? Wow, snake. So he runs away. Rushes away as quickly as he can. He's rushing over here when what does he hear but roar? He hears a vicious lion. And so from that sound, he runs away and he runs and he runs and he hides. Right? And this monkey has run away and he's hiding and he's sitting outside here in San Mateo this morning. And all of a sudden, how does the monkey feel if he's sitting outside today? I see Yuko-san is there fanning herself, right? So he's saying, it's too hot. Let me see if I can find some shade, right? And so this monkey finds a nice piece of shade and he sits here. Oh, it's been so hot. So now he runs over under the shade and he sits here. But then later on, he sits here for a while and it gets too chilly for him. And he says, This tree is blocking the sunlight. And so what does the monkey do? He tears it down, right? And so the monkey is constantly running back and forth, back and forth. When I think about this monkey, I think about this monkey is just like me, just like my own mind. I see something I want, and so I run for it. I chase after it. I see something that frightens me, so I run away, right? And all day long, my mind is doing this racing back and forth, right? You know, I pull out my phone and I'm checking and seeing, is there something, you know, is there something I can watch that will be fun? Did that person send me a message, that text message I've been waiting to see? And so all day long, my mind is racing, right? And oftentimes, when I should be paying attention to things, perhaps I should be paying attention to my work, perhaps I should be paying attention to the needs of my family or the people in my community or my neighbors. Maybe sometimes I'm driving a car when I need to be very careful, right? Sometimes I get distracted. I wouldn't even say sometimes, I would say most of the time I'm distracted. My mind is racing back and forth like this monkey. So how am I going to live through the most crucial, the most essential moments of my life, the times when I need to pay close attention, right? So as we go through life, a lot of times it feels like we can just kind of go on autopilot, right? We can just sort of cruise along through life, but then things happen that we realize we need to be very, very attentive. But even in those moments, our minds can be scattering all over the place, right? Precisely in those moments of stress and difficulty, it can be difficult to maintain concentration. Right? Moments like perhaps the loss of a job, start of a new school year, when we went into this shelter in place, now we're continuing, students are continuing in distance learning. These challenges come up. The loss of a loved one, the illness of a loved one, or our own illness. And at some point, we will all face the most vital and essential moment. We'll face the moment of death, perhaps the most difficult moment to maintain concentration, right? To maintain a focused mind. And so throughout the centuries, Buddhist teachers have looked deeply into this matter and offered teachings to help us to maintain focus in these most essential moments. Many over the years have thought that this moment of death, the moment when we die, is the most important moment of our lives. But if we look to the teachings of the Nembutsu, the wise teachers, people like Honen, who we spoke about a few weeks ago, people like Tanluan and Daochul, who I want to talk to you about today, these wise teachers tell us the most important moment of our lives is not the moment of death, but rather this moment, this very moment that we're living in right now. This is the most important moment. And if we can learn to settle our minds in this moment, no matter what comes up, then when the moment of death arrives, when the loss of a loved one occurs, the loss of a job, the upending of our daily schedules and our school and work routines, that in the midst of all that, we'll be able to maintain the calm and peaceful mind. But it's difficult, right? For me to do it on my own feels almost impossible. Tanluan, one of our wise teachers of our Nembutsu tradition, Tanluan teaches that in these moments of crisis, he says, it's as if a knife wind is blowing over us, a wind of knives. Right? All of our senses are turned upside down. What we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we taste, all of it can be thrown into turmoil in the most challenging and difficult moments of our lives. And so in those moments, how do we remain calm? Tanluan says, it's very difficult to do it on your own, but the compassion of the Buddha is here to help you and support you. And there's one simple thing that will guide and support you. Namu Amida Butsu. Namu Amida Butsu. Just say the Nembutsu. And it's not the saying the Nembutsu, just the words themselves are powerful. But the real power lies behind the Nembutsu in the Buddha's wish for all of us. So when we say the Nembutsu, we're entrusting ourselves to the Buddha's wisdom. And the Nembutsu flows forward in our lives from that trusting. Tanluan describes it. He says, it's like a tree that's leaning over. The more we direct our minds to the Buddha, the more that tree leans toward the Buddha. So moment to moment, if we remember the Buddha and remember the Buddha's compassion, the tree of our lives will lean toward the Buddha. And so if you think about a tree that's leaning, Tanluan says, what happens when that tree gets cut down or blown down by a wind, right? If the tree is leaning this way, which way is it going to fall? You can point one way or the other on your screen. Which way do you think it's going to fall, right? Everybody's pointing this way, right? I don't see anybody pointing this way because the momentum, the weight of the tree is leaning this way. So if a wind comes and it blows over, it will naturally fall. Our minds are the same way. If day by day, moment by moment, nam-man-da-butsu, 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 thinking of the Buddha, feeling gratitude for the Buddha, hearing these words, namo-amida-butsu, and our mind comes to lean in this way, it's settled in this direction. This is called the mind that is settled. And we receive that settled mind, not through our own efforts, right? Not through trying to lean over ourselves, but by directing our minds to the Buddha, and naturally we come to lean in this way, so that when those moments of crisis come up in our lives, naturally our minds fall toward the Buddha's wisdom and compassion, toward the wise teachings of the Buddha. We think about moment to moment, when that crisis comes up, we're going to be turned upside down. We'll be in kind of like a free fall. But which direction will we fall? We'll fall in the direction that has been decided moment to moment in our lives right now. How you live each moment is going to tell you, determine which way your mind leans. And so for us who hear the Nembutsu teaching, who hear these words, Namam Dabutsu, Namam Dabutsu, hearing those words gradually will pull our tree over, pull our minds over in the direction of the Buddha. So this moment, this very moment, not tomorrow, not next week, but right now, this is the moment when we begin to change the direction of our lives. And so in the midst of this racing, wild monkey mind, right? The mind is still racing here and there, but always leaning in the direction of the Buddha, always hearing these words, Namo Amida Butsu. And so we come to be, as Shinran Shonin says, we come to be truly settled. We enter this state of mind, this calm and settled mind of the settled of the Nembutsu. And so in this way, when we hear the Buddha's wish for ourselves, we can take a rest, resting in the Buddha's compassionate embrace of our hearts and minds. And even though our mind continues to race, we know that we're settled in the direction of wisdom and compassion. So as you go through your life this week, moment to moment, day to day, those times when you need a rest, this Labor Day when we're all trying to take a little break, give your mind a rest and say, Namo Amida Butsu, hear the wisdom of the Buddha's compassionate vow. So we'll conclude once again. Let us hear these words of Shinran Shonin. The moment one thinks on Amida's primal vow, one is naturally brought to enter the stage of the definitely settled. Solely saying the Tathagata's name constantly, one should respond with gratitude to the universal vow of great compassion. Namu Amida Butsu.
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 Namu Amida Butsu.